This is a 720 to go podcast from Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
This podcast is sponsored by ADM.
As one of the world's largest agricultural processors, ADM is uniquely positioned to serve the world's growing needs for abundant food and renewable energy. ADM.
When it comes to the business of America's farmland, you need the information from the people who know it best. That's why we bring you AgriCast with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong.
I started the morning, Roger, with a warm sweater on. It's December.
I was walking Rufus yesterday afternoon. I passed every building had at least one or two windows open.
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah.
It is amazing. It's a gift. It'll maybe help out a little bit on the winter heating bill, hopefully.
That would be nice. That would be nice. You're going to have a good time today, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm with some farmer friends, and I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. And we'll check in with you again a little bit later on. All right,
sounds good, sir.
Thanks. Roger Badish in the WGN Newsroom this Saturday morning. Max Armstrong with you on the Saturday morning show. I think I need to be smacked on the back a little bit to work this out. I've got a frog in the throat this morning. Right here at the table of the Will County Farm Bureau office in Joliet, and I'm with some farmers because they're going to spend some time this morning helping transport wreaths into the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. It's a part of the Wreaths Across America activity, and Dave Kessel is sitting alongside me here, Will County farmer from the Manhattan area, as I recall. How did you get started with this?
Well, Max, good morning, and thank you for everything you've done for us to help us and support this whole thing. It started 7 or 8 years ago. A cousin of mine, John Kestel, called up, and he said, hey, we're getting a bunch of wreaths together. He said, get your livestock trailer cleaned out, and we're going to load these wreaths off the semi. And I had not heard of this whole program. And he said, get your trailer. We're going to be up at the Farm Bureau on Wednesday or whatever it was. We're getting a partial semi load of wreaths in here. So we came up here, myself, and he brought his trailer, and I think there might have been one other one maybe that first year. Maybe it was just two of us. There wasn't many at all. And we offloaded all these wreaths, and again, I didn't know too much about it. And then a few days later, we took them down to the cemetery, and we dispersed them out. I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And that was about 7 years ago when the program first started. About 7 years ago, before we were involved, they started with 40 wreaths, and there was maybe 30 volunteers. And I was not there the first year. I was unaware of it. But the gal that's involved with Wreaths Across America and the care packages for the troops, Debbie Smothers, she actually ramrods this whole program. And then she had gotten a hold of John, and John got a hold of me. And anyway, by the time we got involved, we had maybe one or two stock trailers full. And I don't know, I'm just guessing we had 500-600 wreaths the first year. Well, this year we have 9,500 wreaths. We have eight of us farmers in our cattle trailers. And actually there's another fellow, Roger Bradley, has a big military deuce and a half, and we have that full of wreaths too. So we're gonna be escorted into the cemetery this morning right after daybreak.
About what time will that be? In case somebody wants to see the caravan, somebody in the Will County area, maybe they want to park their vehicle and just to see you guys as you're driving along toward the cemetery, about what time will it happen? Do you know, Dave?
We're going to leave the Farm Bureau here maybe 6:45, and we'll go down Route 53, down south of Elwood, and go into the cemetery. So into the cemetery, 7 to 7:30, somewhere around there, with a police escort. It's just, I'm not military, but like I'd mentioned, John Kestel is military, and there's several other guys here that are military, and my father was military. It just gives me a fabulous feeling to do this for the guys that gave so much for us.
Now, there'll be a bunch of volunteers showing up out there to distribute the wreaths through the cemetery, right?
Oh, absolutely. When we get there, Debbie Smothers will be there with a sheet of paper, and say Section 1 gets 10 boxes, and Section 2 gets 20 boxes, and Section 3 gets however many. And we'll go through and we'll set the boxes off. And each box has 9 wreaths in it. Every wreath is 1.5 feet in diameter. Beautiful Christmas wreaths. And we'll set the boxes off. And then volunteers and high school ROTC kids are there opening up the boxes, getting all the wreaths laid in a pile near each section. And then they clean up the boxes so it's neat and orderly. And the cemetery crew will get rid of the boxes so it's neat and orderly. Then we will get out of there with our trailers and get those out of there, because there'll be several thousand people that show up for this The ceremony is at 11 a.m. this morning, and there will be several thousand there by 11. If you're not in there by 10, you're going to have a tough time getting in there because there's going to be that much traffic. But we'll get rid of our trailers, and then most of us will come back in for the ceremony then. And after the ceremony, then that's when the wreaths actually get placed on the graves of the soldiers.
Sounds like quite an undertaking, but you folks obviously enjoy the role that you have in it, by all means. I can tell how much satisfaction you derive from that. Want to talk with you a little bit about the crop season coming up here in just a few minutes, and we'll visit with some. We've got, what, a dozen or so folks here? How many of you guys are veterans? I'm just kind of curious. Four veterans there? Thank you for your service, by the way. I never hesitate to say that because I'm like you, Dave. I did not serve in the military, but certainly appreciate those folks who did and those who continue to serve and their families. We should never forget them as well, as a matter of fact. The Saturday Morning Show coming to you from Joliet this morning here on WGN Radio Chicago. We'll be back right after this break. 16 minutes past 5 on the Saturday Morning Show from WGN Radio. Max Armstrong with you this morning. And I was just with the Big O this week. He has been all over Minnesota the past couple of weeks. Orion has been speaking at bank meetings in Minnesota last week and again this week. I tell you what, I still can't keep up with him. The guy goes in, has open heart surgery, a couple of valves replaced, and he still outruns me, as he has for 38 years now that we've had the privilege of working together. Dave Kestel sitting alongside me here after a harvest season that was kind of amazing because it went so fast. I mean, you know, I figure you guys would be in Florida now. You put the combines away, and isn't that the way it works for you grain producers? That's always the picture that's painted while you're back here trying to figure out the economics of this business and how to make things work with very low commodity prices and ever robust, unyielding, it seems, expenses of doing business.
Yeah, this next year is going to be a tough one. We are going to have to tighten our belts like we've never tightened them before. It's going to be a year of hoping to break even. We're looking at the corn at $3.50, and our input costs have dropped almost none, and land prices are ridiculous around here, the cash rents. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough next year. You're looking to cut back any place you possibly can to keep your head above water this coming year.
Cash rents just aren't yielding very much at all, huh? They're staying about the same?
No. There's a good friend of mine that said when we hit that $6.50 to $7 corn, he goes, you know what? This is going to come back and bite us in the hind end, and it is right now. That was, you know, it was good, you know, for a couple of years. Yeah, we were able to get ahead and get our debt paid down, and but that debt's going to come back quick now. But, yeah, the $7 corn is actually hurting us now.
When you take a look at this harvest season, you got started and you didn't stop for the most part, right? Through this region, and when the combines began to roll, you were able to just keep rolling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was never any mud stuck to the cleats on the combine tires at all this whole fall. I mean, it was very pleasurable. It was warm. I mean, I hardly didn't even need a jacket. A lot of days, just a T-shirt is all you went to the field with in the morning. It was fabulous weather for that is to not fight anything.
I want to get Big John Kestel over here. I want to talk with him a little bit about the cemetery, but I need to give him a little heads up because he needs to start moving, you see, to get over here. I want to give him a little advance notice. Yeah, we've got some farmer friends here gathered with us at the Will County Farm Bureau this morning as they're preparing to haul in their livestock trailers. And just in case you just tuned in, they're going to haul wreaths into Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. Let me get over a little closer. Don't get nervous, John. I have short arms. I need to get this microphone in front of you. How have you been?
Good. I'm much better than I was last year.
Well, it's good to see you. I know you are out at the cemetery quite often because you participate in the Honor Guard. And there are burials in that large, expansive, I think it's almost, what, 1,000-acre cemetery every day, right?
982 acres. It's only second to Arlington. We average probably 15 a day every day. Yesterday, I don't know exactly, a week ago Friday, it was 19 they had. We've had as high as 30 a day, and there's a lot of husbands and wives are buried together anymore. And last Wednesday we were there. There was two husband and wife, both military, both were caskets, which surprised me. And one was Army and one was Navy, and the Army folded their flag and a Navy fold the other flag and presented both to the kids then. So it was quite impressive.
That must have been something to watch. You participate in the Honor Guard to make sure that there is a proper recognition for these veterans as they're laid to rest. How many volunteers do this? Do you have any idea, John?
There's over 100 volunteers that give up one day a week, year-round, if it's 100 degrees or 20 below zero. In Hanton, we're on a sliding schedule. On Mondays and Fridays, there's two squads there, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's only one squad working. So if we're called in, if there's three funerals at 1 o'clock on Monday, we're called in, or two on another day. So the most we've ever been there is 4 days in out of a five. So
there are burials 5 days a week, not on Saturday and Sunday.
No. The government says you can only be closed 2 days. So on the 4th of July or Memorial Day weekend or whatever, if it's a three-day weekend, they always will bury on Saturday. So we get called out. We get called out for all the extra days.
Describe what happens out there for the graveside service. What do you folks do?
Well, when the girls from the Abraham Lincoln, they bring the funeral up and that. Then she does her thing, and then he turns it over to us, and I do our prayer. So-and-so has been transferred to jurisdiction to post everlasting, go through that, and then we get down, and we say, now in recognition of Max's military service, we'll have a three-rifle volley salute, and we shoot, and then they play taps, and then usually the Army or whatever branch he was folds the flag, and when they're folding the flag, we do our reading, this banner now being full of symbol of love, courage, and devotion to our great lands, and go through that. And then they present the flag, and then we present the shells, and then we go port arms, forward shuffle, which we got yelled at for shuffling. But we're all too old to march.
I see. About how long does the ceremony take, approximately?
Well, we're booked on there's four shelters out there, and they're booked on a half-hour basis. So you got to be in and out in a half hour because there's another one right behind you coming. So it's sometimes we almost tease that they get really winded and it takes a little longer, and we just got to push them out.
You guys have to work with dispatch then, because there is a schedule. I was shocked to hear how many burials there can be per day out there. I had heard one time there were maybe 13 a day, but you're indicating there could be far more than that.
Oh, yeah. There was that one day we were there was 33 or 5, and there was four squads working. Shelter A, B, C is set up for military, and shelter D is for wives. See, because wives or spouses, I should say spouses there, are not military, because it can be the wife is military and the husband isn't. So shelter D was always set up for just non-military, so we have at hand four different shelters to use.
Well, I know you are a veteran yourself of the Vietnam era, and that's about as close as I get to hero worship, to be honest with you. I've always had the highest regard for you guys and women and the service that you gave our country, and so thank you. John, thank you so much as I shake your hand to tell you that, and also for your continuing service as you head out to the cemetery each day. Providing the proper honors for those veterans who are buried there. Coming up a little bit later here on the Saturday Morning Show, we'll share some comments from a market analyst who's watching what's happening with the prices. And we spoke with Dave Bossy this week, Dan Bossy, I should say, Ag Resource. As Dan was at the meeting of the American Seed Trade Association, we were downtown at the Hyatt Hotel, joining those folks from all over the United States who are pondering what might be done, what happens if our supply is so out of line with the global demand? Would we see a return to a large acreage retirement program of some sort in the United States? We've been down that path in the past, but back in those days, there was the political will to do that, and we're not sure about that anymore. And we'll talk with that on that subject with Dan Bossy coming up in just a few minutes here. The Saturday Morning Show from WGN Radio will be back at the Will County Farm Bureau office in Joliet after these messages. 26 minutes past 5 on the Saturday Morning Show from WGN Radio. Max Armstrong with you here. Dave Kestel, in the wintertime like this, how do you spend your days? You're always watching markets because, as we were talking, of course, if you get any kind of a bump in price, farmers need to take advantage of that, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we'd all love to at this point, a couple of years ago, we would have laughed at this price, but now we're all looking to hopefully get something priced in that $4 range for 16. And even the leftover crop we have for this year, like I said earlier, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough this coming year.
Well, the grain moves out of Will County. Where does it go? Is some of it transported by rail to the south? Do you take some? I would imagine the lion's share would go to the river, would it not, the Illinois River?
Actually, right where we're at, a lot of it goes to Centerpoint, the rail yard here, and gets put right in the shipping containers and gets sent overseas, which has been a great deal for those of us right here in this local market and the recipients overseas that are getting it. The small family hog farms that are in China, and then along with the great big hog farms over there too, they're getting that grain in the same exact condition it comes out of our bins, and they're pretty excited about that.
Dave, is there any special quantity of that corn, for example, that you're shipping over to that part of the world, or those soybeans, or is it just a run-of-the-mill commodity and it just makes sense to put it in a smaller container?
It does, to put it in a smaller container, because, you know, if let's just say there's a small family hog operation over there, small, you know, whatever it would be, 1,000 hogs or whatever it might be, yeah, they could just buy a container at a time instead of having to buy, you know, an entire ship.
You don't have to worry about trying to get an ocean-going vessel up into the countryside there. You could just offload it, and they could haul it, I suppose, on a truck right up into the rural region. This area pioneered the container shipping, as I recall. I think it was the DeLong, a company out of southern Wisconsin, that started doing that. And you know how strange that seemed to me. As a guy, when I grew up, they were sticking an auger or shoveling into a boxcar. And, you know, then we advanced the clock all of those years, and you're sticking an auger into the back of a container. And, of course, it's become a very sophisticated process. But as you point out, it's exactly what the end user wants when they can open up that container, and the quantity is still there. You haven't bumped it off the side of a ship when you're loading it into the hold. There probably isn't as much BCFM, broken corn, and foreign material.
Yeah, in fact, I had heard a story from someone with the National Corn Board that went with one of the very first containers over to China or one of the countries over there, and through an interpreter, I guess when they opened up this container, the guy says, wow, this is what corn's supposed to look like, and they were really thrilled with the quality they were getting over there.
Good stuff. Give us more. Yeah, and take more from us. By all means, buy some more.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that. China is a bright spot in terms of the demand for our soybeans, and that's one thing I visited with Dan Bossy about this week. From Ag Resource, and we'll share the visit coming up here on the Saturday Morning Show. Max Armstrong with you here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN Radio. Thanks, Roger. Oh, it's amazing. 55 degrees at Midway Airport here on the 12th of December.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, it doesn't seem quite right, does it?
Well, a little heads up. Starting around Tuesday, temperatures drop to normal.
So
for the rest of the week.
Start to plummet early in the week then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get ready for it. I would imagine some of the retailers say, we want cold weather. We want folks to come in. We want them to be in that shopping mood.
Yeah, you would think so, because shopping is not what's on my mind right now. Right now, I want to go out and, if it wasn't misty, I'd get a suntan.
You didn't have my present in mind at this moment?
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of presents for you in mind. I'm going to get a couple presents for some people that I know, and it happened to have been written by you.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Yeah, we're having a good time. I was at the Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting in downtown Chicago at the Palmer House last weekend, and we had some copies of the book there, and some of the folks actually were featured in the book, and it was nice to visit with them and have the chance to talk with them. Yeah, we pulled together some stories of folks we've met along the way and put them in that book called Stories from the Heartland. We're having a little bit of fun with that, as a matter of fact.
That's great, and I'm sure we can go to the WGN Radio website.
Absolutely, through WGNRadio.com. That's one place to order it. And,
excellent.
MaxArmstrongBook.com, that works too, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see you later on, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, my friend.
Roger Battish in the newsroom. Rob Hart will be updating the news, as I understand it, coming up at 6 o'clock this morning. Mike Steven will be outside the loop after 6. And I think Lou is out wandering in the countryside today from West suburbia somewhere, far northwest suburbs. So we'll find out. We'll visit with Lou after a while as well. We'll listen to him on the air here on WGN Radio, the Saturday Morning Show. And we talked about a number of the factors going on in the markets this week. Dan Bossy has watched the agriculture scene and covered markets for quite some time. He makes the point that he is not a broker. He is not a trader. His firm does the analysis. They do the research and the analysis to try to track where the prices could be going. Watching what's happening in terms of demand, you know, things that affect the grain market, as strange as a presidential election in South America that took place a few days ago may very well turn out to be a very big factor as far as United States farmers are concerned, believe it or not. But as I began the conversation with Dan Bossi, as we were at that meeting of the American Trade Association, the American Seed Trade Association, I should say, I asked him about the bright spot. I asked him about the demand that China has for our soybeans right now.
They do. They keep stepping up their demand. We think China this year can take 84 million tons. That's going to be four above what USDA is suggesting. Overall, China seems to buy more soybeans as the market goes down. Now, China's becoming having a case of indigestion because of all the supply. So that's something to be watching, but we are encouraged about China.
I also note the other day there was a story that came out that said they are among the biggest consumers of ethanol in the world now. I mean, in terms of buying in that marketplace, that was a little bit of a shock to me.
It's starting. It's a ways away. You got to think about U.S. ethanol exports as being about 6.5% of total production. So it's a help, but it's not a salvo for the U.S. farmer today. We'll watch China carefully. Of course, smog this morning in Beijing is a big air issue with schools and everything closed because of air issues, but China's stepping in that direction. Why they're not using your own corn crop for ethanol production is a little bit of a misnomer, but it's something we're watching, but surely not a salvo for the markets.
Do they have the capability? Do they have the plants to turn that corn into ethanol?
They have got four industrialized corn ethanol production plants that could utilize a fair amount of grain should they need to. The problem you have in China at the moment is a little bit like the world in which the price of ethanol is now trading 30 cents above the price of unleaded gasoline. So for the consumer, ethanol doesn't work very well, whether in the United States or the world. And this has got the Chinese politicians' attention. And remember, Chinese corn prices today are about $9.40 a bushel compared to the world market, somewhere around $4.20. So there's a big disparity between China corn prices and where the world is today.
Speaking of ethanol here at home, given the steps taken or announced recently by the Environmental Protection Agency, how disappointing is that to the marketplace, and how concerned about it should producers be that we're not stepping up domestic goals?
Well, we're meeting the domestic goal according to the announcement that came out on November 30th by about 500 million gallons. We talk about 15 for 2016. It came out at 14.5. The question is one of blend walls. I mean, we are stretching it a little bit on this latest RFS increase, but do you have politicians mandate usage when we can't actually consume it in our automobiles? And that's the question everybody is asking. I, for one, believe that ethanol and biofuels are mature. The farmer needs to look beyond the biofuel policies as we have cheap natural gas and cheap petroleum and other technologies like electrical cars that are stepping forward. But it's something that'll be there for us. It's 5 billion bushels of corn demand, Max. That'll be there almost each and every year.
Near term, as we take a look at the prospects out of South America this winter, they're on track for big crops, are they not?
I've got a team down in Mato Grosso and Paraná today, and we are surveying the crops. We like what we see. There's some dry pockets in terms of Mato Grosso. We think they can come out of them. We're not in that sensitive reproductive stage yet, but we think Brazil is all of 100 million metric tons of soybean production today. But January and the first half of February are the two key months.
So they're not out of the woods yet there?
No, we still have some weather concerns to be watching.
It's hard to anticipate, though, much of a spike in the market this winter, isn't it? I mean, there just aren't that many things that are going to rescue us here near term either.
Outside of weather next spring or summer, there's really nothing that the market can look at today in terms of being a demand driver. We do see the better Chinese demand. We'd like that, but Brazil will come forward with big crops, we suspect. We don't have ethanol, and so it comes down to feed residual, and we have negative livestock margins and livestock prices that are coming down. So U.S. farm income, unfortunately, for a third year in a row, will probably be down in 2016.
I talked also with Dan Bossi about that recent change of leadership in the major grain-producing nation of Argentina and the fact that those export tariffs will be coming off of the grains they grow there. Dan, what does that mean?
Well, it means that Argentina potentially could become a export powerhouse. I mean, if you think about it, the export taxes on something like sunflowers was 47%, 23% for wheat, 20% for corn, and 35% in beans. Now, the grain export along with sunflowers all come off or expected to come off as soon as he is installed on Thursday. Soybeans and soy products will come down 5% a year. But if you couple that with the devaluation, we estimate that the average Argentinian farmer may be making an extra $200 to $250 per hectare on his grain production. So, yes, they're smiling. We expect that next year Argentina will plant 30% more corn, maybe cut soybean acreage by 5 to 8%. But generally speaking, he is going to be producing for the export market.
Will they be shifting back and forth between the crops, or will they tend to specialize? They've been a big corn exporter over the years, a big wheat exporter. Will they focus over the long term on one commodity?
Our survey suggests that farmers down there will become more rotational in their crops, much like U.S. farmers. We think they will now start to take care of their soils better. We will see an increase in yield. Argentina has become very soy dominant in recent years because of their need to produce for currency. By that I'm saying the blue peso. Now all the indications are with the export taxes coming off immediately on grain, wheat and corn, that they will become more rotational. They'll plant more corn acreage next year and get into kind of a 50-50 mix going forward. So if there's a little bullishness, it may be on the soy side in which they'll be a reduced exporter of soy and soy products, but they sure look to be very strong in wheat and corn in coming years.
That means more of a world supply to compete with the United States. What do you tell our producers here about what you see over the next few years? I mean, how long is this tunnel we're in right now with little or no profitability?
As we look back in agricultural history going back to the Civil War, we find that these periods of oversupply, and there's quite a few of them, end up with some kind of government intervention. By that I'm saying supply management programs. The one thing that's different about this cycle is that the U.S. dollar is rallying, which is incentivizing producers in Russia, Latin America, other countries to produce more grain. This puts the burden entirely on the United States farmer. And so we believe at some point that we'll have to take out some 17 to 20 million acres of production in the next 3 to 5 years to balance out supplies, assuming we have normal weather. Weather is the one thing we economists have no idea about 3 or 4 years hence. But it has taken things like CRP, payment in kind, soil banks. The decoupling of all that in 1996 has left us without that governor to manage supply going forward.
Let me ask you about this crystal ball issue. Is there the political will in America now, with everything that has changed, with the way Congress operates now, is there the will to devote that kind of attention through a government program to idling that much acreage?
Not even close today, Max. As I walk through the hallways of USDA in recent months, I asked the questions of senators and representatives, and the response I get is, well, we gave you what you wanted, which is a revenue insurance policy. And so they believe we have a safety net underneath us. The problem being, if corn prices drop sub 3 or bean prices get down to 7, we have to see some adjustment in costs or our farm revenue will continue to implode. This is a worry that we have at Ag Resource.
Yes, sir. A worry indeed. Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company is his firm, and he's located in Chicago and has also offices elsewhere around the world trying to watch what's happening with grains in the production as well as the demand. We'll talk with the manager of the Will County Farm Bureau coming back here momentarily on the Saturday Morning Show from WGN Radio. We're back on the Saturday Morning Show, this portion of which is brought to you by Wink Products. Max Armstrong with you here at 11 minutes before the hour of 6. We're at the Will County Farm Bureau office in Joliet. Mark Schneiderwind is the county manager here, joining me at the microphone right now. We've had some farmers coming in here over the past few minutes. Roll off just a few names of guys that have joined us to help out with this effort, taking wreaths into Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery.
Okay, yeah, we've got Jim Baskerville, and we got Luth Baskerville, Don Bettenhausen, Roger Bettenhausen, Sarah Glenn Ginder, John Kessel, Dave Kessel, Dale Kessel. We've got quite a few other people there as well. I can't see. Well, Jim Tepper, I think, just walked in behind me, too. So
Dick Smears over here.
Yeah, Dick Smears behind me. So, yeah, we got a good crew here, and I'm looking forward to working with the Veteran Cemetery and Operation Care Package to get this all accomplished today.
Farm Bureau is alive and well. I was at the annual meeting at the Palmer House last weekend, saw members from all over the state. Of course, with this kind of ag economy, there's a lot on their minds, a lot on their shoulders right now, isn't there?
Yes, there is. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of challenges. And it was pretty neat because this was the 100-year anniversary that they kicked off for Illinois Farm Bureau. We celebrated ours a couple years ago, and so it was kind of neat to sit back and watch somebody else do the 100-year anniversary, but also enjoy it as well.
There are a lot of folks who belong to Farm Bureau, and they're not farmers, but they certainly have common interests. They have the same kind of concerns. They need to know, in many instances, a little bit more about agriculture. Some of the folks, of course, own farmland, or they participate in the ag industry in other ways. I would imagine there are several of those in Will County who fall into that category.
Yes, we do have. We have quite a few of those, and you hit it right on the head. They like to support the agriculture community and the farming community. They all eat, and they also appreciate the hard work that the farmers do on their behalf. And they do have a lot of concerns in regards to understanding how the farmers get that product to them. And we've done a really nice job with working with local media on telling the story about the farmers and how we get that crop from the farm to their grocery stores, and they have a better understanding of how safe their food is.
It's kind of a good news, bad news story. The good news is consumers want to know more than ever before about their food supply. The bad news is they want to know more than ever before, and you need transparency. You need folks to understand. You need to cut through a lot of misconceptions fostered in some instances by celebrity chefs and others, but there's so much misinformation that is circulated about the food supply. I suppose you probably find yourself sometimes, Mark, trying to cut through all of that fog.
Yeah, we do. It is a challenge, and we have people like Dave Kessel and as well as John Kiefner and Jim Robbins have done a great job with talking with the media and understanding what's going on with that process. And, you know, we want to be able to allow people to see where their food comes from. We're not against that. We just want one uniform message, and we want the truth in labeling as well to make sure that what is being said is factual throughout the entire process. So.
The governmental affairs process is important, too, to farmers, not only on a national basis, what happens in Congress, but certainly farmers in Illinois are very interested in key issues in Springfield, and that's troubling at times, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and we've been very fortunate. We've inherited several legislators with redistricting over the years, and it always gives us a new challenge to work with new legislators that come in that don't have very much of a farm background. So it takes a while for get to know those people, but it's been a good experience, and we don't really not against something like that, because then we just have more people to talk with to share our message to understand agriculture. And so we welcome that opportunity, and we've got a good bunch of legislators that we're working with here locally.
You know, it's interesting. I've observed this process on a number of occasions, Mark, when a farmer sits down face-to-face, one-on-one with a consumer to explain why things are done the way they are done in agriculture today, for the productivity and to care for the land, the way farmers care for the land, using the various tools that they utilize, that light bulb frequently will turn on, and they realize maybe for the first time ever that, hey, wait a minute, there's a reason these folks do this, and they do care about this process very much, producing an abundant, readily available, amazingly economic, and certainly safe food supply.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Max. And then what we find interesting is that we want to listen to what their concerns are, and we take those concerns serious, and then we talk to them about those, and then we try to give them information on where they can do their own research, but we kind of give them some information on why some of that information might be incorrect that they've heard, but we also allow them to channel it to make sure that they understand. We do care about what they feel about it because, you know, bottom line is they are using our products, they're using our food, and we want them to feel comfortable with what they're eating.
Mark, thanks for allowing me to come in and barge in for a little bit this morning to join you folks. It's fun to watch this process as these farmers get ready to fire up their pickup trucks and pull in the livestock trailers with all of those wreaths on board. We'll see you along the way somewhere. Thanks for taking the time to join me at the mic.
Thank you so much, Max. We appreciate all you do for agriculture.
Mark Snyderwin, he's county manager of the Will County Farm Bureau. In Will County, Illinois, as we're here in Joliet this morning, we'll be back with a couple of final comments from our buddy Dave Kessel right after this. 3 minutes before 6 here on the Saturday morning show from WGN Radio. We're in Will County, Illinois. We have a lot of travel coming up over the next few weeks. One thing I noticed that's taking place in January, the Farm Futures Summit is one of those educational opportunities for farmers, and that's down in St. Louis where that is held every year. I have participated in that program for several years. There is a lot of information that is transferred to growers there. That event is the 21st and 22nd of January. It's a little bit later this year than normal. Generally, it comes right after the new year, but it'll be January 21st and 22nd, an opportunity for farmers to go to class there for a couple of days. And I would imagine Dave Kestel, there you guys will be trying to absorb all you can this winter, all of the information you can possibly get to make the decisions that you need to get through leaner times.
Absolutely. There's not a day goes by that we don't learn something, and there's not a day goes by that we shouldn't learn something, too, about our livelihood and feeding the world and feeding the world with safe food supplies. We need to get that word out to everybody that that's what we do is we produce safe food supplies.
You participate in the social media. I get to see some great stuff on Facebook from you, and that's one way that you share information with folks. One thing I noticed this fall, how many beautiful sunsets there were during the harvest season. I mean, people were taking, you know, one photo after another of a green combine and a big red combine moving through the field and the grain carts, and sharing that with folks who watched things like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram.
Yes, I'm guilty of sunrises and sunsets. In fact, there is a neighbor that said, if Dave Kestel doesn't post a picture of a sunrise or a sunset, did it really happen?
There you go. Hey, thanks for allowing me to come along with you this morning, and I want to just pay tribute to you guys, you and your colleagues, Dave, the farmers who've joined us here this morning with their pickup trucks, their livestock trailers, not hauling livestock, but hauling wreaths. 9,500 wreaths going into Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery for the graves of the military veterans who have been laid to rest out there. And I have a feeling you're going to need more trailers next year, pal. You're going to have to marshal some more forces because I see this growing. There are 42,516 graves out there, and it may be that there will be even more wreaths next year. So congratulations to you. Merry Christmas to you, Dave, and thanks for spending a little time with me at the mic.
Thank you, Max, and Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to all our listeners out there. And just one more thing, I know myself and the rest of the farmers here that are hauling these wreaths down, we are really excited and overwhelmed by the joyous feeling we have of taking a small token of thanks and a little bit of a Christmas present to all the troops that are resting down at the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it much. That's the Saturday Morning Show. Bob Ferguson, our engineer, back at the studio. Thank you for your help. Mike Stephen coming up after the 6 o'clock news. And Lou Manfredini about an hour from now right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.
Orion Samuelson keeps you connected to the world of business and agriculture on WGN. Hear his reports weekday mornings on the Steve Cochran Show and during the noon hour on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Plus, catch Orion and Max on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. only on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.